If you're a man watching this video right now, be warned, because inside your brain, there is a virus, a parasitic virus that can take control of your body, your life, in a moment without ever you realizing what's going on. There is nothing that you can do to stop it. No amount of rational thinking, no logic, no experience can defend you from this parasitic virus. It has been there since the beginning of time. However, in the last 50 or 60 years, it has been militarized against you by what I like to call the simp industrial complex. And of course, that parasitic virus that I'm talking about is the pink mist. Today, we're going to get into the pink mist, how it destroys lives, but also how you can learn to manage it, how you can learn to identify it, and how you can use it to work to your own advantage. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. For those of you who are new here and you don't know what the pink mist is, well, it is this devastatingly beautiful and brutal idea that you need as a man, a woman in your life to complete your soul, your whole life, your existence, to make you a complete man, any of that bullshit. This idea has, in a subtle way, I think, kept our population growing for the last, 100,000, 300,000 years, whatever. But with the advent of capitalism, the folks at Disney and in Hollywood and the people who write beautiful love songs and poetry, they have militarized this pink mist into something that it never ever was meant to be. They have created what I like to call the simp industrial complex, because they leave us all thinking that we are incomplete, that we are not good enough, unworthy, if we can't satisfy the needs of a woman in our lives. What's interesting is that when you go back and read ancient texts, I'm even talking about the Bible, for God's sake, they warn us against this. They warn us against it in a big way. They tell us not to put all of our eggs in that basket. And we didn't listen. We didn't listen. Because I think what we don't understand as human beings is that our need to be accepted by the group is really fundamental to our survival. And being accepted by a woman gives us status in that group. It insulates us from being exiled. And so we seek this status, this woman, who is this form of external validation, to not only give our egos and our hearts a boost and feel nurtured and loved, but to insulate us from the potential for being exiled. Because as a man of status, you are more likely to be included in the event things go really, really bad. So this whole process starts when we're very young. We fall in love with those Disney princesses. Obviously, they're beautiful, they're kind, they're the ideal. You know, they're just an archetype of a wonderful, perfect woman that we admire greatly. But of course, all princesses have vulnerabilities. They're too weak, they're too small, they're vulnerable to all kinds of evil forces in the universe. And inevitably, at some point, they fall prey to those evil forces. And then we become the prince. And the prince is smart and courageous and good-looking. And he swoops in and saves the princess. And in return, she falls in love with him. And of course, they live happily ever after. They get married and they live happily ever after. We never see the happily ever after part, but we see the wedding sometimes. So this is the seed that's planted in our brains when we're very young men. And then it gets compounded by Hollywood with TV shows and movies, giving us the same basic message. Sometimes it doesn't work out quite as cleanly. It's a little bit more of an adult version of it, but nevertheless, a lot of similarities. And then you become a teenager and it's the music. Oh my God, the music just gets you, the ballads, the sad love songs. Oh, I cannot tell you how many hours I've spent you know, listening to sad love songs, pining over some woman that I don't even know. You know what I mean? That I've never even met. I used to have a thing for Olivia Newton-John when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. All my girlfriends had to look like Olivia Newton-John. But this is how the brain works, man. That pink mist, it just gets in there. And that simp industrial complex just sort of reinforces it over and over and over again. And that simp gene just seems to come out, you know, and want us to find that girl, that woman, and just do whatever we can. And we just imagine all the wonderful things that we're going to do for her and how we're going to make her life so much better. And we just fall into this trap. And then one day, you're just innocently walking through a mall or a grocery store or at church or just any place in public, and you see her. You see her, and she smiles at you, and you smile back, and one thing leads to another. And before you know it, you're dating, you're married, and you're divorced. Just like that. It goes through the whole cycle, and you're thinking, how the hell did that happen? How did I fall in love with the princess? And we did all the things. I saved her. I gave her money. I fixed her car. I fixed her house. I bought her a house. I gave her the kingdom. I gave her the kingdom. I gave her everything I could give her. I tried so hard. And yet somehow, happily ever after was not there for me. What happened? What did I miss? What's not in the story that I'm missing here? This is what we're going to talk about. The simp industrial complex is really a thing. Think about it. Advertisers use psychology and study human nature, and they understand what motivates people more than anything. And what motivates young men in general, but young men in particular, more than anything is sex. There's no question about it. And creating this illusion around this need to procreate of a mystical love force, this pink belief system that there is perfection, there is something to be acquired through this process that is unique and makes us whole as men, completes us in a way that we were unable to complete ourselves. And we can only get it through this process, only through love, only through falling in love with a woman, a romantic love, not just any love, not just a real love that is unconditional. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a conditional love, a love that requires her to love you back, that there has to be an exchange, a transaction of love, of sex, of resources, of companionship, of respect, that we think that this is what we were required in order to be a whole man. And this is not true at all. In fact, most men never hooked up. Of course, our ancestors all did, obviously. We wouldn't be here if they didn't. But there are countless men in history who never hooked up, never had a woman, never procreated. Their lines ended. Does it matter? We think it does. We think that it makes a difference in the world. I'm not so sure. I don't know. We will never know because we can't do the comparison of what happens if there is and what happens if there isn't. Does it make the world better if there's more men procreating, or does this create another generation of men that are even more sensitive to simping and more likely to be affected by the pink mist? I don't know. But I think that we who are here are obviously very strongly impacted by the pink mist, and we are being driven by the simp industrial complex to seek out the relationships that will inevitably destroy the vast majority of us. Resisting the pink mist is very, very challenging because it requires a high level of awareness from the man who has been affected. And I should say infected. Most guys do not realize that they have been infected by the pink mist, and they don't realize what the symptoms are or what the manifestation of the full disease is. I remember, and I have been infected by this pink mist many, many, many times throughout my life. And it always starts off the same. You suddenly feel lighter. You feel happier. Your whole life feels like something significant has shifted, that the sun is brighter, that everything is just a little bit better in your life for no other reason than the fact that you have met her, whoever her is. You think that your life has gotten significantly better because of your coming into contact with this woman. This is the first sign. If you recognize this in yourself at any point, just because you have met some attractive woman, that you feel like your whole life has gotten better because of it, that's a delusion, okay? Nothing has changed in your life. Let's just get really right down to it. You're just as poor and as dumb and as bad looking as you were the day before. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. All that has happened is you have met some girl. And this girl, you know nothing about her. You know nothing about her. She could be the devil herself. And she very well may be. But you don't care at this moment because she's making you feel good. Hell, you haven't even had sex with her yet. You're just happy you met her. Oh, that's the first sign. When you get that little tingle, you get that little sensation, like, oh man, isn't she hot? Isn't she something? Oh, and she likes me. Whew, that makes me feel good. I am the prince here, you see? I can see the princess prince thing already working out for us, you know? I can see that she's beautiful and she's kind and she's sweet and she's got all these characteristics that I just think are amazing, amazing. She's adorable in every possible way. Oh my gosh, do you see the way she looks at me? Do you see how her hair flows? Oh, and the clothes she wears? Oh, she's just so perfect. She's just so perfect. So this idealization that you're doing with this girl is all the initial signs that you are falling prey to the pink mist. And you may be thinking, well, John, how bad could that be? I mean, are you just gonna beat us up because we feel good because we met a pretty girl? I mean, come on, man. Don't be such an asshole. I'm trying to save you here, okay? You guys need to stick with me here because I don't think you're fully understanding just how much of a dangerous situation you're in. It's like if I was standing right here and there was a rattlesnake at my legs, you'd be screaming at me, John, there's a rattlesnake at your legs. You gotta move, you gotta get out of there. It's the same thing. This pink mist is even worse than a rattlesnake because a rattlesnake, at least there's anti-venom. For the pink mist, there's only one way through and that's the hard way. Once you have been completely absorbed by the pink mist and your life has been subjected to all of its effects, there is no antidote. There is no anti-venom. You are in it. You're stuck. In the early stages of romance, it is impossible, once that pink mist has completely taken hold and that man is walking 3 feet off the ground all the time and he sees no criticisms of her, and she sees no criticisms of him. I mean, it's a commensurate thing. He's gone. He's too far gone. Because it's not just about the girl that he thinks is so perfect. It's about how she fits into the universal scheme, how she may be his soulmate, how he has lived his entire life for this moment. But this is not just about a happenstance, a meeting of a girl by mistake. No, this is the culmination of powers in the universe beyond our comprehension. This is God's hand. This is everything that we were meant to find. This is what the purpose of our life is, was to meet her. This is the whole thing. This is the whole ball of wax. This is it right now. This is the most important thing that could possibly happen in our lives. And it's happening right now. This is the belief system that we have. This is how we get into trouble. As children, we look around and we see parents, you know, with children, and they all must be in love, right? They all got to be happy. You know, they're all together. They're in the happily ever after stage of life. They're living the dream. They are living the dream. And we want to live that dream too. We want to be just like them. It's so shocking when one of our friend's parents gets a divorce when we're young. We don't understand it. Like, how could this be? How could that happen? You guys are in the happily ever after stage. Why would you ever get a divorce? You've gotten there. You found your one. You found your person. You found your person. The one person on this planet that was right for you. You found her. And now you're going to let her go? You're going to get a divorce? How could this possibly be? You know, the pink mist is so profoundly effective at blocking our ability to see what is clearly in front of us that we can't at any stage in life until after the wedding day. That's when the mist begins to lift. Because up until that point, like with all the Disney movies and all the romantic shows and the comedies and the romance movies and all the music and the ballads, they bring us right to that moment when that ring goes on the finger. And that's when it all stops. Because they all know that what comes next is not like what came before. They all know that what comes next is not what you're looking for. Once the pink mist lifts, you're going to start seeing her and your situation for what it really is. the logic is going to start clicking back into your brain. You're going to start becoming a man again. You're going to start realizing that there's way more complications here than what met the eye initially. She has demands, not requests, demands. And she has expectations. There's a fundamental difference between men and women at this stage in the game. And that is, a man does not ever want his woman to change from the way she was before they were married. And a woman wants to do everything she can to form that man into the woman the man she has in her mind from that point forward. So she's doing everything she can to change him while he's doing everything he can to keep her from changing. This is a friction that goes on in relationships forever. Because men fall in love with the woman that was there. It's like falling in love with the commercial, you know? It's like looking at a delicious steak or something, or a hamburger on a commercial, and falling in love with the commercial. And then when you finally go to the store to buy the food, whatever it is, and you get it served to you, you realize, wow, that's not nearly as good as I had hoped. I fell in love with that picture on the screen. And that's what we're doing as men. We're falling in love with the advertisement, because that's what dating is. It's an advertisement. Nobody gives you the truth. It's like a job application. It's like resumes, you know, they're just filled with lies. And that's what dating is. It's not about revealing who you really are, at least for the most part. It's about feeding that pink mist. And women do that so well. We do it too. We want to put forward our best foot. We want to put our best face up. We don't want her to think that we're assholes or bad guys, no matter what may have happened in the past. We want her to believe that we are her Prince Charming. That's who we want to be, Prince Charming. So we are in it all the way. When you first recognize that little tingle, that little sense that you're being lifted off the ground just a little bit, and you're starting to think that your whole life is about to get better because this woman entered into it, realize that is your first indication of the pink mist. Once you have that first indication, you need to start taking steps right then and there to stop it, or it will own you. What the pink mist is hiding from men is that we can't see clearly that most women are not necessarily interested in us personally. They are more interested in us as to what we represent to them. In the same way that we see women as a way of being socially part of society, accepted, fitting in, and even to some degree as a bit of a status symbol, because we have a beautiful woman, you know, we all are very happy to have her on our arm, and we want to show her off to our friends and family, because the more beautiful she is, it's almost like that gives us status, that makes us more important in their eyes, at least that's what we think. Well, women do the same thing. They have exactly the same approach. It's not us that they're interested in, it's the idea of us. It's the idea of having a man in their lives. And the psychology of it is deep, and it starts with the Disney stuff too for them. They think that having that Prince Charming that is giving them all his attention, all of his desire, all of his resources, making her feel like she's special, that is critical to her psychology. She needs that. It affirms something in her. It's another form of external validation, and it's primary to who she is. She feels it, she needs it, she wants it, and she doesn't really care where she gets it. She just wants some guy to meet some basic qualifications. And if you're that guy, then she's going to drain you for that. Now, it's innocent enough, as long as it doesn't go any further. But the problem with that is that that exchange just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you allow it, it will destroy you. Because the other thing the pink mist hides from you is that for many women, most women, a committed relationship is not about love as much as it is about control. Control is at the center of what they want in a relationship. You gotta be careful here, because there's a dichotomy here. There's two currents running at the same time, and they run in opposite directions. And this is what's so confusing about women. The one current is, on the surface, she wants control. She wants to be in charge. She wants to have charge of the relationship, of the finances, of all the major decisions. But then there's this undercurrent, this primal part of her that is scared to death of what the world has for her. She knows she's vulnerable. She understands the chaos that goes on in her head. She understands the hormonal swings that she experiences. And so she doesn't trust herself completely. So she needs a man who can be in real control, but make her believe that she has control. I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's really fucked up. And that's why relationships struggle so much, is because women have this dichotomy, this countercurrent that's going on in their heads all the time. They say they want control and they want to act like they want control, but deep down they really don't want control because they really don't trust themselves. The pink mist hides that chaos from us. We don't see it. We may see it, but we won't identify it as a problem. You may walk into her apartment and see that it's just a complete disaster. Clothes all over the place, dishes in the sink. But you're not gonna think it's any problem. You're gonna smell stuff that doesn't smell right. You know, you're gonna be like, what the hell's going on? Maybe she's drinking too much or smoking too much pot, whatever it is. Maybe she's got some weird tattoos that she can't explain very well. You know, it's like, what the hell? But when you're in that pink mist, none of that stuff seems to matter very much. It all seems to be cute. It's all part of the package. She's adorable after all, right? And the way she leaves her stuff all over the place, that's adorable. You know, you're in her room and it's like you're in some kind of a little girl's princess room. Everything is pink and white and there's flowers and all kinds of perfumes and belts and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff all over the place. And it doesn't seem like this is the place where you would want to be, but as long as you're just there for a little while and you're just having sex with her, you can put up with it. And then when you get up to go to the bathroom and you see all these chemicals that she uses to make her hair and her face and all that stuff right, just everywhere, you just ignore it. It's fine, you don't recognize it. And then when you talk to her about her finances and her job and her career path and whatever else, and you find that there's chaos there too. At every single level of her life, there's chaos. Her relationships with her parents, her relationships with ex-lovers, ex-boyfriends, with even her friends. There's just all this drama and chaos everywhere you look. But you think that's perfectly fine. It's normal. You don't recognize it. You do not see it. The pink mist blinds you to all of it. It blinds you to all of it. And so when you give that commitment, that's when things start to get burned off. That's when the pink mist starts to clear and she starts to emphasize her need for control. And you start to understand that this is a relationship that is going to be much more complicated than anything you could have imagined. Lord of the Rings is probably one of my favorite movies because every time little Frodo puts that ring on his finger, he disappears. And I can't help but see the correlation between putting a ring on a woman's finger and how quickly she disappears. That woman that you dated, that woman you fell in love with, the woman that made you feel like you were 3 feet off the ground. You put that ring on her finger and she will disappear. She will be gone faster than anything you can imagine. And from that metaphor, Frodo sees all those evil ghosts, you know, all the Mordor and all that stuff. That's kind of what you're gonna see. When she puts that ring on her finger, you're going to see Mordor, all the evil that comes out of her, because she's going to start emphasizing her need for control now. Because now you have given her what she wants. You have given her the precious, the commitment, and all the power shifts to her in this relationship. And she recognizes it and she sees it. She knows that the legal system stands behind her, society stands behind her. She is the prize. She is the prize. And now you're going to have to earn her every single day for the rest of your life. And I guarantee you, you're not going to measure up. You're not going to measure up. And you're going to wish you had never met her one day. One day, you're going to say, God, I wish I had never met this woman because she has completely wrecked my life. As the marriage goes on and things get worse and worse and worse, you're going to find that you are the villain in this story. Yes, I promise you, you will be the bad guy here. She will blame everything that goes wrong in your marriage or in her life on you. And there is nothing that you can do or say that will be acceptable to her to contradict that. No matter how logical, no matter how well you can explain it, no matter how much evidence you can provide, there is nothing that you can do or say to convince her that you're not the villain. Somehow you went from Prince Charming to being the bad guy in this story. And for many men, when the divorce comes, that villainous narrative gets taught to the children so that the father now is alienated from their kids because the kids have been poisoned with the mother's narrative about what a bad guy he is and how poisonous he is. So the opportunity here for your life to be not just measurably worse than it was when you met her, but for you to be emotionally, psychologically, and financially devastated to the point where it may seem like the rest of your life is difficult to even continue living. I mean, it just really can be that bad for some guys. So what can you do to prevent this whole nightmare from happening? Long before you ever see her, you're going to need to make an avatar of what it is you really, really want in a woman. You cannot just go with that tingly feeling and think that's an indication that you have found the right one. That's not a good sign, because that's the pink mist working its magic on you. When you're in a clear-headed, logical state of mind, and you can think of what are the characteristics that are important to you as a man in a partnership with any other birth person, but especially a woman, what characteristics do you demand from that person in order for her to take on the most important role in your life? The standards have to be extraordinarily high. They cannot be, oh, she's got to be pretty and she's got to be nice. No. That doesn't work. All girls are pretty and nice when they're dating you. Like, you need to be able to find evidence of her character, that she is an ethical person, that she has got indications of strong loyalty, that she has awareness for the kinds of problems that can occur in relationships, that she's open-minded about seeing both sides of an issue before coming to a conclusion, that she can be diplomatic in difficult situations, that she is empathetic to a fault, like not just with children and animals, but with you. Like, she has a true empathy for what you experience. She has interest in what your life is about, that she wants to support you in your endeavors, that she sees that you are an admirable man, that she admires you. Yeah, she admires you as a man and for what you stand for, and she supports you in pursuing your goals. These are the kinds of characteristics that you're looking for in a woman. It has nothing to do with how pretty she is. It has nothing to do with how nice she is. It has to do with who she is as a human being. You write that stuff down, make a strong, hardcore list, and you seal it up in a plastic, cover, so you can read it. You can post it on a wall, and you'll know exactly what you're looking for all the time. And so when you finally meet a woman, when a woman shows up and she smiles at you at the mall or whatever, and you start talking to her, you go on a couple of dates, you can start checking off these things and seeing if this is really what you think it is. And if at any point at all she doesn't meet those qualifications, or she is showing indications that she's contrary to those things, then yeah, she's gone. Oh, in addition to having all the good things that you love about her, but you also got to have the bad things that you're unwilling to accept. What things are you completely unwilling to accept no matter what? They are deal breakers. You got to have that list too. So if she strikes on any of those deal breakers, you'll know right away she's gone. The next thing you got to have in a relationship, and this is any kind of relationship with a woman, is you've got to have strong boundaries that you enforce. I've seen some comments in the comments section about, oh, boundaries don't work. No, you know what works? It's when you enforce them. The problem with boundaries is you must be able to enforce them, and there's only one enforcement, and that's the nuclear enforcement. That means I'm withdrawing from this relationship unless this happens. Like, this is not a negotiation. When I have a boundary, this is not something that it's not a preference. I think a woman or somebody in the comments made a comment about how in one of my videos I talked about a girl that I had dated, when I dated, who didn't want me taking her picture, and I took her picture. And she got pissed off about it. And I took a picture by accident. I was taking a picture at a concert, and she just happened to be in it. And she got so pissed off. And she had told me this was her boundary. And I made the case in my video that that's not a boundary. That's a preference. Yeah, that's not a boundary, because that doesn't change the dynamics of the relationship. A boundary is when I don't like the way you're talking to me. You know, you're being disrespectful. That's a boundary. That has nothing to do with taking pictures or something stupid like I want pizza on Fridays. That's not a boundary. A boundary is something that has a direct impact on the way you guys interact, the way that your relationship is formed and the direction that it's going. Those are boundaries. Having strong boundaries will give you a level of safety in a relationship that will keep the pink mist at bay to a certain degree. Because as long as you have those boundaries written down and you know exactly what they are, as soon as she touches upon those boundaries, the pink mist is gonna clear very, very quickly for you. It's gonna be instant. You're gonna go, oh my God. It's like touching a nerve. It's like she's touching a nerve. And you're gonna recognize it immediately. But if you don't know what your boundaries are, then you won't have that ability to clear that pink mist when things start going south. Something else that you should do before you get into a relationship is you should have in your head timelines. Hold yourself to timelines. For example, if you're coming out of a marriage, if you're divorced, give yourself 2, maybe 3 years before you allow yourself to get into another relationship, before you begin another relationship. Because the devastation from the divorce is so strong and so impactful that it's going to take you at least 2 and probably 3 years before you are capable of trusting yourself to have another relationship. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not saying that just to say something in a video. I, from my firsthand experience, I thought that I was good at year one. Hell, I thought I was good at 3 months. I started dating 3 months later, you know? And then, I wasn't even close to being ready. I was a complete basket case. And then at year one, I thought, okay, now I can do it. Year two, now I can do it. Year three, now I can do it, you know? And what's interesting is once I got far enough away, once I got like 3.5, 4 years out, it was like, I don't think I even want to date. I don't think I even want to have a woman in my life. I think I'm fed up with all that bullshit. I don't want to bend over backwards to accommodate some other adult, you know? I don't want to make space for her in my world. I don't need sex that bad, you know what I mean? I don't want to pay for it at that level. If I'm going to pay for it, I'd rather just pay once. You know, I don't want to pay forever. So, once you get to the place where you no longer care about having a relationship, then that's probably an indication that you're okay to have one. You know what I mean? So timeline, like, don't allow yourself to get into a relationship too quickly after the end of a serious relationship. And then hold yourself to a certain period of time of courtship. Take it slow. Time is on your side. Take 2, 3, 4 years in this courtship process. Don't just jump right in. Make sure that you really know her before you get into it. I was talking to a guy a few weeks ago, and he had known this woman for less than a year, like 11 months. And he was spending like $10,000 on a ring for her. Like, what the fuck, man? Really? Really? Why would we do that? You know, so give yourself 2, 3 years of knowing someone before you make that commitment. Understand that this is a friendship as well as a romantic relationship, and distinguish those two in your mind. Understand that the friendship will last forever. The romantic stuff is going to come and go. It's going to be there some days and it's not going to be there other days. So you've got to recognize these different aspects of your relationship, and don't be caught up in getting all of your validation from this relationship, because you will not get it there. And when you don't get it there, you're going to be hurt. And when you're hurt, you're going to say and do things that aren't going to make any sense. And you're going to upset the whole thing. So anyway, my point is, take your time, be friends, understand that if this is going to be a long-term relationship, time is on your side. You don't need to rush into anything. And then finally, and this is something I strongly recommend, whether you decide to go forward with this or not, I think you should at least go through the motions. And that is, you should mention to her that you think you should have a prenup before you get married. This will be two things. One, if you go forward with the prenup, then it does provide you with a level of security and understanding in the relationship about whose stuff is whose. And it does make any end of the relationship much more automatic. It's not something that becomes an emotional turmoil for everybody. So there's a lot of powerful upside to the prenup. But just by mentioning the prenup, you're now putting her to the test. You're checking to see where her values are. What is she really, really interested in? If she loses her mind and starts screaming that she doesn't think that's fair, or you're being, you don't really love her, or you don't trust her, any of that kind of bullshit, then you know right then and there that she is not the right woman for you. That's how the pink mist gets lifted, is you provide her with an opportunity to lift it for you. And the minute she pushes back against that prenup in a hard way like that, that's your sign that she is not right for you. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it, please share it with them. Anyway, till next time, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.